Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, brother. I'm getting ready to start now. I'm sure getting ready to start. Hold on just a minute. It's 8 o'clock. Hold on. All right, out there in radio land. It's yours truly, Brother Baba Wetapa, right here in Oklahoma City. We're going to do it for you, yours, and me and mine tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the word for Oklahoma City is 34 degrees. I hope that you're staying warm no matter where you may be. Tonight we're going to be doing a program about mass incarceration. We hope that all of you who can, that y'all be able to tune in and just be a part of the program, because it's about you and yours. It's about how we make it happen. Tonight we're going to have several guests on. We're going to have a couple of people that's incarcerated. They're going to be telling us what it's like being away from their family all this time. And of course I'm going to be talking about how the CIA plotted to and made perfect for mass incarceration to come about with that crack cocaine that they dumped on the streets with Freeway Rick up there in Los Angeles, California. Watch it now, y'all. You telling me it wasn't a plot? Okay. But we know one thing about it. Here is where you get the most, because I'm your host, Baba Wetapa. That's right. Here, your thoughts count, your ideas count, whatever you have to say count. It's no right or wrong. We're not going to ridicule you or sanction you. We just want to know what's on your mind, because with your learning, I get to increase mine as well. And I'm sure all our audience think the same way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, we fought the house tonight, man. It's all about us, not Gus. It's all about telling them people that we mean business. Oh, man, I love it tonight, y'all. Right here in Oklahoma City, cold as it is, 2 degrees, a little bit too cold to snow, but I'm one of them people that likes it at least around 69 or 70 year round, then I'll be all right. All right now, we're going to thank all of you for tuning in tonight, those of you from Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Des Moines, Iowa. All right now, come on now. Okay, of course, we also got a brother on the line that's up there from Denver, Colorado. Peace to you, my brother. Oh, man. Boy, we finna rock it, y'all hear me? We're gonna take our streets back. All that false imprisonment, false incarceration. Huh. So y'all might as well get ready to get on the roller coaster ride, because look, hours? Man, ain't no turning back. So float your boat with the most, your host. I see that our co-host has just popped online. Sister May, talk to him. Are you there? Ah, Sherry, what okay. You all ready? You ready to get this thing on the road, get it kicking, huh?
I am. I'm ready to get this on the road. I'm ready.
You always ready. I ain't scared of you, though, sister. You hear me? I'm too far from you. You live way across town, so I ain't got to worry about you bothering me. Yeah. Hey,
okay.
I can say that.
Okay.
When I'm in your face, it's a different thing. When I'm close to you, I talk all nice, and can I open the door well? It's just my way of getting back. Yeah.
No.
All right. Again, this is our sister from Oklahoma City, who's our host with the most as well. We're going to let her be talking about, she's actually with the Fred Hampton Gun Club, and she's definitely going to be talking about things like that in the future, as well as she'll be able to host the show or what have you. That's why I want to make sure of that. We want to thank again all y'all who's on the line with us. Y'all just hang on with us just for another minute or two, and then we'll get right into the heart of why we're here tonight. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mass incarceration. I don't know about y'all, but I got a lot of people that I know, friends and people I've met on Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that there, who has a family member locked up somewhere in this prison system, this wicked United States prison system. All right, all right, all right. But let me tell you one thing, y'all. Right here in Oklahoma City, we doing it. I mean, we got a nonprofit organization called Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. We also have Empower People Incorporated, where our motto is change your world, and your world will change around you. Got trouble with the police? Call us up. Got trouble with your landlord? Call us up. Got trouble with your partner and parole board? Call us up. Straight up. We don't cower down to nobody. Think I'm lying? Go to their Facebook page. Go to the Oklahoma City Chronicle. Legislative offices. Straight up. I see Sister Tamika is online. Thank you again, Sister, for joining us. I recognize the other few out here, but I don't know a couple of these other numbers. I don't know Chicago, Miami. Oh. Denver, of course, I do recognize one brother online from Denver. All right. All right, all right, all right, y'all. It is that time again. It is Baba Wetofa, your host with the most right here in Oklahoma City, People Power Radio, where your ideas, your thoughts, and mine counts. I also have online with me today my co-host from Oklahoma City, Sister Mayat from Oklahoma City. Again, she's with the Fred Hampton Gun Club, and very proud to know that she is, and we're definitely going to be letting her say a few words in that regard here shortly, as well as given an opportunity. I'm sure. Let me say this to everyone before we just get all we started through. If y'all have any ideas that you think we would need to do for the show or whatever, please let us know, because we want you to know that it's all about you today. You know, it doesn't make a difference. As long as we can make sense of it, we're going to make bread and butter too. Bottom line. So straight up with that. All right, y'all, we're going to, Sister Mayhead, you want to introduce yourself, let everybody know you're on before we get started? I mean, talk to me, what's on your mind, then we'll get ready to get it rock and rolling.
I'll say my name is Maya Yeyaboa. I am the chairwoman of the Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City chapter. We have other chapters in other states, and also our headquarters is in the DMV area. I do wanted to, you know, say certain things, you know, say some things. If you are in any part of the world and you want to get a part of, you know, a movement, you know, Fred Hampton Gun Club is growing. We are actively recruiting in all locations. Also, Michael Washington creates opportunities here also. So anywhere in the revolution or anywhere in changing the black nation, there is a place for, you know, there is a place for you to actually be active and to actually come out and, you know, host or be a part of, you know, some events or be a part of, you know, training. We're specifically a gun club, so we do a lot of training, but we also do education. We do field work. We do a lot of different things out in the community. So there is always a place for anybody that is wanting to come out here and wanting to actually be on the front line of change, whether it's, you know, passing out food, whether it's a proper gun training, whether it's coming to a protest or being a part of a protest. There's many opportunities here in Oklahoma and also in other states. So just get in contact with either one of us and we can get you there.
All right, Gabe, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned all that. All right, everybody, now we're going to proceed on with tonight's topic. I'm going to be, as most of you don't know just yet, I'm also an accomplished, actually, I have a desire to become an accomplished, well-known writer. I will be citing a couple of recitals from a book I'm writing called Exposing the Greed and Shame and Sinister Plan to Mass Incarcerate Americans. That's the name of it so far. I may change it later on, but today, that is what I call it. Once again, the greed and sinister plan for mass incarceration. Now, when we think about mass incarceration, everyone, again, everybody, please indulge me. We will be giving you an opportunity to speak tonight. That's what that's our motto here on our show. But let me say this before I like to. I like to try to get things rolling off, being the host. And, again, if my host have a few things to say right in the middle of what I'm doing, please feel free to say what you need to say. Again, y'all, I want to talk to. We're also going to be citing a little bit from the book, from a well-known author, Michelle Alexander, whose New York Times bestseller is The New Jim Crow. She is also talking about how mass incarceration is the new Jim Crow and how the United States government has tripled and quadrupled its incarceration rate of human beings for the sake of making money at the helm of poor, disgruntled, and people who are living in poverty, on drugs, in gangs, and in violence. Well, let me tell y'all, we're going to deal with all that tonight. All right. She also noted that just in 30 years from 1980 to 2010, that the prison population increased from 300,000 to more than 2 million persons incarcerated. Wow, y'all, in a 30-year period. Now, that is frightening. She also stated that although making up 13% of the prison population in the U.S., listen carefully, y'all, although blacks make up 13% of the population, we are 40% of the prison populations in the world today. Wow. We're going to have a few people on our line today from the incarcerated community. It's going to be speaking about their mass incarceration, how long they've been in, and why they think they should be let out. Again, what better way and more fitting would it be to have people who are incarcerated to tell us what it's been like since they've been incarcerated, what they've seen, and how they've been deprived of the loved ones, freedom of choice, and so forth and so on. We also want to let the media and others know that we demand that our political prisoners be released and those who are a threat to society. We're not taking anything less. Let me say again, then I'll get ready to open the floor for you. We want to say, too, that the United States incarcerates 750 people per 100,000 people. Wow. Now, that is really terrible. Now, the actual incarceration rate has gone down per 100,000 to 696. Well, that's a slight change. We're really not recognizable, but I guess they can do something that we need to do to make it happen. Also, y'all, we want to also talk about that here in Oklahoma, we lead the nation, I mean the world basically, in what? Incarcerating numbers per capita, not necessarily the group. In other words, Texas and I think Minnesota are the states that have 400 or 500 people locked up. I mean 400,000 or 500,000 locked up in their prisons. So we're not quite there. We talk about per capita, per people, per square mile in the state of Oklahoma. All right, y'all, let me get ready to get on here, and we're going to say a few things here and let y'all have it. But before I do, I want to say this right here. For those of you who are incarcerated, please don't feel free. If you don't feel like you want to identify your particular confinement, please don't do so if you think it's going to deprive you of your privacy or what have you. But we would like you to tell us a little bit about what's going on. But before we get there, Sister Mayette, talk to me today. What do you think about what you just heard so far?
It's a lot. It's a lot of issues that we have with, you know, the prison system in general. I don't feel like our prisoners are being treated humanely. I don't feel like I feel like they're being exploited while they're incarcerated, whether it's because of something that, you know, they should be in there for, or if it's something that they have been wrongfully accused of, or it's pinned on them. There's a lot of different things. But they're being exploited in order to make money off of them. You know, they may have somebody out here doing the same work in, you know, outside for $10 an hour. Inside of there, it may be 1 cent an hour or 2 cents an hour. I don't know how their pay structure is, but I know that it's significantly low, that it's not something that they could even live off of. So they are struggling also with having to work long hours and do all those certain things, and I don't feel like they should be exploited. That should be a place to where, hey, we're trying to get you to turn around your life. We're trying to make sure when you leave, we are rehabilitating you into society. Despite of whatever's happened to you, you know, and it's all being done in order to keep the rich rich. It's not doing
justice
for people that are in there because of things that they've done or things that have been, you know, a misfortune or something that has happened, you know, somebody has pinned something on them. But my personal my personal idea, and, you know, based off of people that I have known that have been in the prison system, they get exploited, you know, on many different levels, you know. And then we have, you know, the staff that does not care at all. They just show up. You know, they don't treat them like human beings, and they also play a part in the prison deaths and, you know, the different odd situations of someone being pronounced dead in their actual care. It's really crazy. So, you know, and then we're not even going to start with the smuggling and stuff. So it's a lot of
it goes on with being
incarcerated.
Wow. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm sure that others were listening in on what you were trying to say, and actually your point was well taken and very well articulated. And for the most part, let me say to those of you that who are in our listening audience, and again, those of you who are not able to speak with us tonight, we again appreciate you for tuning in. There are more than 2.3 million people in United States prisons today, jails and prisons. Listen carefully, y'all. 2.3 million prisoners in Oklahoma's prison today. Matter of fact, let me go to one of them today right quick for the most part and see what's on his mind. Brother Omar, I know your time usually gets cut off here and then you have to call back. So let me get with you first. You've been incarcerated now for about 13 years, right?
Yes, my brother. Yes, sir.
Okay, so now talk to me about it, man. What feeling have you gone through? What if you missed out on it, man? What is your mindset? What, talk to me now.
Well, first and foremost, I thank the Creator for waking me up this morning, giving me the strength and ability to connect with you, and thank everybody for this beautiful platform together. It's a wonderful opportunity. Brother, it's a constant psychological, basically torture to be so far away from your family and your loved ones, you know, miss out on birthdays, and I'm 3,000 miles away from my family. I'm originally from Florida. I'm out here in Colorado. I'm lawfully incarcerated at my website, freeourbrothers.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the railroad machine, the No Indictment Railroad Machine. That's freeourbrothers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram at freeourbrothers. And that's the stand that I'm taking because, you know, it hurts every day. I got a wonderful, you know, black woman in my life. From Miami, Florida, my first love. I know she's listening.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, Queen, for sticking with me and this, you know, going through this pain. It pains me the most to know that she's going through pain. You know, I try to compartmentalize everything, you know, think about the struggles she's been through and how long I've been away from her. And, you know, it's been real painful, my brother. But, you know, I just have to keep going and, you know, keep believing because it's bigger than, you know, me in my case.
Yes.
And what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, so thank you for your support.
Oh, brother, man, like I said, my whole thing is to ensure that the powerless, the voiceless, have a voice through some kind of platform, and I'm going to do this until the last ounce of breath in my body until I can't go any further. But I'm going to tell you what, even when they put me in that doggone ground, I'm going to be trying to get them to try to do it again. You know? That's just the kind of spirit I have.
He mean that.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, so... 13 years, man, what have you gone through? I mean, tell me about, I know you'd like to say you're queen out there. We're going to let her speak here in just a little bit. But tell me what a mass incarceration, what is your idea? I mean, are you a part of that system of mass incarceration, or did you just lumped in the middle of it? What's up with that?
Man, it's this, I do a lot of reading, you know, and to understand, you know, overstating what happened to the ancestors, you know, with the historical record of this country when it comes to, first and foremost, you know, my people. Everybody wants to say people of color, but, you know, I think that's just a general sweeping term to try to get people to not look at what's historically done to, you know, our people, first and foremost, man, because we've been catching hell before we even got off the boat, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody's not in the same circumstance. Not to, please don't take this as offensive what I'm saying, but, you know, not to belittle anybody else's pain or struggle, but there is a historic attack, you know, against, you know, African-Americans, the original people, black people. And so when I think of that, brother, you know, it keeps me going. Like, I have to keep going, keep fighting, you know, but you're still human. You know, you still sometimes you feel like, man, you know, because the hardest thing for me is to be in a state where the local community, I'm trying to be real careful what I say. I don't want to offend anybody.
No,
you
know, no, bro, this is a show. You know, as long as you're calling their names, man, you can go.
They're not aware of themselves. They're not aware of the struggle. They don't support you, the people around you. They don't know what it means to be, you know, basically black and unified, because it's so white-dominated out here, white culture, everything. It's this, you know, white supremacist leaning, and everybody wants to assimilate.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Website,
tell the truth.
Taking a revolutionary stance. And I need the people to stand with me. I can't do this alone. So please just don't listen, man. I'm asking y'all to go to this website right now. And I appreciate you, those who contribute. Go to freeourbrothers.com.
We're definitely going to be linking you in on that. Sister Matt, before we go on to other guests, you got anything you want to, any question you want to ask the brother here while he's online? Because you're going to still have plenty of time, even if you don't have it right now. So just you can think of something or write it down or whatever. Write it on everybody. I mean, we got a few more others that's been chimed in. So, you know, you got something you want to say or whatever.
So are you, is this just a regular website, or do you also have any other pages that anybody else can link to? Is it just a website? Or
can you say that again, my sister, please?
I was saying, do you have any other links, like on social media? Because some people are more familiar with that. Then they are, they'll probably go to a social media site before the website. So just wanted to know, so everybody will be aware. So, you know, if you have two or three different platforms, we can all go on there and support.
Oh, we go to them too, brother. She wanted to know, do you have anything other media platforms outside of freeourbrothers.com? That's what she wanted to know.
We got the Instagram at freeourbrothers, Instagram at freeourbrothers. Then we have the Facebook. And free our brothers, you know, and that's why I put my calls to action and post. And it's difficult being in here trying to, you know, do all that because I don't have, of course, I don't have all, you know, access to that. But I do put out material, and I want the people to link up, please.
All right, definitely. Okay, man. Hey, definitely, brother. Like I say, look here, brother, man. You got your help down here. I mean, like she said, we work tirelessly.
Oh, no question.
You know, we work tirelessly. That's why I want you on tonight. I want to hear you brothers' incarcerated voices so that others are listening. I tell y'all, man, we reach all across the globe, Chicago, Texas, Minnesota, Tennessee. I mean, everybody be calling in. And now, because they see that this is one show where they have a host with the most, hostess and host with the most, who are all about the interests of our listeners, man. If you got a show, anybody have the show, please call us up, 246-9089. That's 405-246-9089. Now, we want to try to move on a little bit further here with some of my other guests. And before we get any further, I'd like to see if Sister Tiffany is on, and since your queen, as you call her, I wanted to see if she's out and can she tell us a little bit about how she's feeling about you being gone away so long and out there. Sister, are you on there, Sister Tiffany?
Hi, I'm on. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, I don't know. You might be in Hamburg. That may not be you. Go ahead.
Go
ahead.
Here you go.
Talk to me. So what's it been like with your king being gone? I mean, talk to me. I'm not in your shoes. Talk to me. Tell me the connection.
It's actually been incredibly difficult for not only me but for our entire family, his siblings, his father. Everybody has been hit and devastated by this. You know, holidays haven't been the same, birthdays, special events. There's always a huge hole that we all feel every single day. Me personally, just day-to-day things is incredibly difficult. I'm out here having to do it alone, raise our son alone, you know. And he does his very best from where he is, writing letters, talking to him on the phone, just trying to be as present as possible. But there's still this physical loss or physical gap that we don't have. Even down to today, you know, just talking to him on the phone, the disruption of the calls and, you know, them listening in, it's just completely intrusive. Yeah, it's completely intrusive to our relationship.
I mean, I love you.
And
they got the phone off on
me. Yeah, like, no, we don't get that part.
Yeah, they do it all the time. You know, it's just,
oh, man.
It's completely intrusive. And,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, y'all. I'm just irritated about it.
No, it's, trust me, we're irritated as well. It's completely intrusive and invasive. You know, you can't have private moments. You can't express and talk the way that you would like to, just physically being able to be there without having eyes on you. And, you know, it's just incredibly, incredibly difficult. We do our best to make it work. He and I are, I think, we've come up with systems and strategies to make our relationship work, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're determined to stay together. And we understand that these type of institutions are put in place to break families apart. They are put in place to divide everyone. And those who are incarcerated, they want them to they want them to lose their family and their friends. They want them to be socially isolated.
Man.
They want to dehumanize them and ultimately turn them from humans into animals. They don't look at them as people. They look at them as property. They look at them as numbers. They look at them as money. They're dollar signs. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Prison has been monetized. And these bodies are, they have a dollar sign amount on them. So when you look at people, when you don't look at people as people, and when you look at them as property or dollar size, you completely dehumanize them. So you treat them like that. The institution, the entire institution, the way that it's set up, the way that they treat them on the inside, the way that they talk to them, the way that they, you know, just tax them for every little thing. You know what I mean? The way they treat their families.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of trying to dehumanize and just let them know that they don't matter. We don't continue people. You don't have rights. And it's absolutely horrific to treat human beings this way. And, you know, for us as a family to just, hear some of the things that happened to him and to just, you know, like experience it on a personal level, you know, it happening to us as a family is just the most horrific thing that you can think of. And for America to so-called be this great country, you can't tell by its institutions and the way that they're run. So we just want to get the word out there because a lot of people are not aware. If it hasn't impacted you personally, and it hasn't happened to someone that you're close with, most people just turned a blind eye to it. Most people in the world have no idea that this is happening here in the United States and that it's on such a primitive, horrific level. You know what I mean? So we just want to, like, kind of get the word out there, let people know what's happening in the prisons and how individuals are being treated. And it's really, really horrible. So unless you've gone through it personally, most people wouldn't even know that this is happening here.
Hey, man, you're definitely right. I mean, you have to get the knowledge out there. And I like to keep on people's minds. Thank you so much for saying that. I like to keep on people's minds. When you say you overstand a situation, listen carefully, when you overstand a situation, you're not underneath it anymore. And the powers that be have a problem because your king in there is knowledgeable enough. He's overstanding the plot to mass incarcerate him. 13 years is no question a mass incarceration. If he's in there 5 years, it's a mass incarceration. Uh-huh. So we want you to know that you have your back and everybody that's listening. We're getting ready to go through some more of our callers. But before I do, Sister Mianne, if you got a question or two you want to ask Sister before I move on, it's your time.
I say, I don't have a question. I have a statement. You guys are incredibly strong to be going through this and to still keep you know, y'all family together. I, of course, send my prayers out to both of y'all. And
yes.
Justice,
thank you.
You know, needs to be in line with, you know, you guys' case. So you guys stay strong. We're out here trying to help if you need any help. Like,
yes,
you know, like
trying to make it.
Significant other, you know, said the web, you know, put his website out here.
Yes.
Everybody go follow it. I just went to go recently follow it. So you guys go support because our brothers and our sisters need them. And you guys
man,
will continue to be in my prayers.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you so
I mean,
much.
Like I said, we want everybody to know. Oh, I see old James and popped up. He think he's slick over that Bomani. I'm going to give it him in just a second. He think he's slick over there. He can't slide on barbed wire no matter how slick he thinks. But now, y'all got to look over, Michael. You know, I just try to make everybody feel happy and things. That's just me, man. I like to joke. I like to have fun, but I know how to be serious when the time is right. So, again, y'all, thank y'all for indulging me. But let me say this here as well. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how the cocaine was brought into the United States by the CIA. But before I do, I want to get another brother that's incarcerated, Brother Bomani, here again. He can tell us a lot about what it's like to be a political prisoner and why he has the belief he has in mass incarceration. Then I see the sister. She's always with us as well. Sister Tamiko's on our team. So, Brother Bomani, take the floor. What's up with you? What you think about tonight?
Well, I mean, it is a much-needed overdue conversation about mass incarceration, being that the United States, the corporation, holds 25% of the world's incarcerated population in its gulags, in its jails, in its prisons. So it is something that the so-called American people whose name it's done in needs to be aware of, and they need to do something about it, not just be aware of. You're responsible for this. This is done in your name with your consent. So especially to the black community, the so-called black community, which we are a very diverse group. We have a lot of people who have been indoctrinated into the ideology of when they had tried to integrate us, they have took our children to the schools, and they have pushed that on us. You know, we had a lot going on before integration. You know, we had a lot less brothers and sisters in prison before integration. So looking at the mass incarceration of our people, because we're disproportionately incarcerated in most places, we're the target. And that's a genocidal project. That's just not for politics. This is for murder. This is so they can steal our homeland. They've told us so many lies, and we're coming awake, so they had to figure we got to get rid of them now. We can't use them no more. So now they understand that this is beyond just, you know, letting somebody go free, because they never let us go free. 157 years ago, they so-called released us from the plantation, but they never allowed us to be independent. Every time we built something independent, they came and burned it down. They came and destroyed it. So that's the only solution to mass incarceration of our people is our independence. That's my number one observant over the years. So that's
what we're going to be. How long have you been incarcerated? How long have you been in?
17 years, 6 months, and 13 days.
Wow, you're talking about mass incarceration. There are two brothers now. Watch it, y'all. Between the two of them, we're already talking about 10 years average by itself, y'all. I did that. I had a time this way, and then I got another brother coming on, not right now, but here shortly. He's going to tell you what it's like right here in one of our prisons here in Oklahoma. But go ahead, Brother Bomani. I just want to let everybody know that you say you got 17-6.
I was just on
a
call before I clicked over because I was on a Free the Guys podcast that's going on, and I actually have them in the waiting wing right now because I wanted them to understand that mass incarceration is a national crisis going on, and we need our communities and those who are our allies to understand what it's going to take for us to get what we need, what's going to end this epidemic. That's what this is. This is an epidemic against our community, against our people.
Okay.
So we got to understand what we're dealing with here. Now, the ideology of integration has failed us. We can no longer allow other people to govern us. That has not worked. And continue to do something again and again and expect different results, to go vote for politicians to handle our community inside of their nation ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It ain't been worked. They had 150 years to go ahead and try and get it right. They don't want to. They don't want us.
No.
And you know what?
No.
We don't want to be with them either.
No.
We don't
want to
be up under them. Anybody with any good sense don't. Excuse me. You do have some who do want to be under us. You do have some people who do, you know, they want the interracial sex. So that's on their mind. That's their thing. They think white ice is colder. And, you know, they're welcome to stay with them. We don't need them anyways. I'm glad they're gone.
Well, yeah, you
but have, for the rest
you have
of us,
right.
Mm-hmm. For the rest of us, we need to understand how the world has been working. And since the end of World War II, they've had a charter called the Atlantic Charter, which builds on free trade and self-determination. Now, self-determination is the foundation of all nations. It's the foundation of America. But I wanted to bring the brothers in. I wanted to bring the brothers in, so hold on one second. Let me see if they're there.
Okay. And while we're getting ready to, when the brother come back, we'll get Sister Tamika on. I'll see her number, too. She's trying to hide it, you know, getting it blinking and off, and it ain't going to work, so I'll see you. we want the brother here, and our whole Homer going to tell you about his story as well here, Charlotte, but after which we'll brother get back. I'll just talk to you get back, and we're going to... You know, man, y'all, this is something, this is serious, man. This is not just kicking it. We need to have come some solutions. You know, this massive cost rate.
Check this out.
Man.
They're just closing out on the, and it was talking about solidarity in the liberation movement against mass incarceration. So let us bring them in. Hold on.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You can definitely reach out to me if you need me. Y'all have a wonderful night.
Okay, have a good one.
No, that's not for you. That was them signing off.
Oh. Y'all trying to play a trick on me, man. Y'all did that on purpose.
I was just introducing them to the, this is the People Power Radio and the Free to God podcast. We are now joined up. So the thing is, we were talking about solidarity. We were talking about solidarity in the movement for our liberation from this mass incarceration.
Okay, Maria, are we off the, are we off the live, Maria?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Oh, you're on the line.
I just want to make sure we.
We have an opportunity to reach a bigger audience now. This is the People Power Radio, and it's several states that are listening right now. And we have several brothers from Louisiana. We have brothers from Mississippi. We have brothers from Alabama, and I'm here in South Carolina. So we're working together back here to figure out how best to go about actualizing the decarceration of our community, of our people, of the prison system. Because America, again, has 25% of the world's incarcerated population here. Mass incarceration is an epidemic of our community. They've targeted black communities and brown communities for this. So, and they give us longer sentences. So,
amen,
so this is a major issue that we as a community need to address. And from my point of view, it comes from integration. This is what happened with integration. They set us up with that. So we have to reverse that. We have to reverse that trend. We need separation. We need independence. That's what's going to free our people, especially from jail.
Yeah, right. Fine. So the rest can follow, definitely. All right, brother, I want to let you hold that point, right, hold that thought, and keep that thought because we're going to come back at you in just a bit. But Sister Tamika. You think you're slick. Talk to me now. I'm not scared of y'all. I keep telling y'all this. And now, man, I can run fast. talk to me. We're going to let the brother just got in on it, too, brother.
Peace, power, and love. Peace, power, and love.
Peace and love. All right, how you doing?
I am doing great and glad to be here with the people.
Yeah, good.
Couldn't have said it better than Brother Bomani, you know, the solution to all our woes, challenges, oppression, and self-determination, and that includes mass incarceration.
Yes. Oh, man. We need to treat it right, try to reach some solutions here, though. Talk to me, sir. Okay, you got the floor. Go ahead.
The solution is self-determination, self-governing. When we're self-determined and self-governing, then we have the power to free political prisoners and nonviolent prisoners of those institutions, and we can decide amongst our people alone what is the seriousness of their crime, if they should remain in some type of facility or if they can be set free, time served, whatever the case may be. We can make that decision for our own people, our own communities, our own nation state.
Okay. Hey, man, I got you.
I don't think we should leave any of our people in their hands. I don't care if they committed mass murder. There's a reason why they committed mass murder.
There should not be any of our people in their hands. Like I said,
nobody left behind.
And we have
right,
the power to decide how they should be in custody or not in custody. But it would be
we should have that. I mean, these people are just running amok. They just do what the hell they want to do, man. You can just forget to pay a fine or a legal fee, and they're talking about locking you up in jail or something stupid like that. Man, you didn't commit a new crime. You just forgot to go look and talk to your probation officer. Stuff like that, man. Come on, man. That's really stupid, man. It's all about that MOAY.
So I will also add that once we are realized self-determination and we have the power to help free your brothers and sisters incarcerated or held political prisoners or held on excessive sentencing or whatever the case may be,
we
also have the power to I almost lost my train of thought. One second.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the power to determine actually for them to be judged by a jury of their peers. Because we know 99% of the time when they are tried in a jury, it's a jury of 11 people, non-melanin people, their people.
Amen.
And then there might be one of ours or brown, and then they're
That's
one of them
in
anyway, oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it was in my case.
So we will be establishing our own jury and court jury tribunal.
You're going to have to have it. I mean, you cannot win otherwise, as you see. Definitely not on that. All right, so hang on just a minute. I have one brother right in Oklahoma City. He's got to get ready to head out, but I don't want to catch him before he leaves. He's incarcerated as well. Brother Lenard, come on, man. Talk to me. You've been hiding in the background, homie. I told you, man.
Hey.
I ain't scared of y'all.
Hey. That's right. How you doing, Brother Mike?
Oh, man, I'm all right. How you been doing, bro?
Well, man, I'm making it. You know, God is good. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is not on me, it's in me. And I want to start off by thanking you. Start off by thanking you and your co-host for being a voice to the voiceless. But again, my name
Amen.
Is Joe Johnson, and I'm housed at Lexington Correctional Center, and I'm coming in the spirit of humility asking for help because I've been in 15 years on a life sentence, wrongfully convicted.
Ooh.
Now, everything that you and your co-host and the guests have said is right on point. I'm living that just like the other brothers that you spoke to. Judge Elliott, David Prater, you know, and
I'm on with him.
Jason Spanish, Pamela Kimbrough, Stephen Deutsch, they all got together and railroaded me. I've had attorneys that didn't do nothing but take my money. And then after I was financially depleted, I began studying law, read through my transcripts, and my innocence is right there in the transcripts. And when you don't have an attorney or you don't have money, you know, they just give you any kind of way. And then when you don't have support out there, to help you or people coming to see what's really going on in them courtrooms, they just do what they want to do with you, man. And like I said, I've researched my case and laid my case out. I need help out there because I can prove my innocence. You know, they accuse me of beating and stomping a guy to death when I can't even be placed at the crime scene. But the brother who was placed at the crime scene, they give him 20 years to testify and say I was with him and I done it. It gave him 20 years and gave me a life sentence. And it's all right there in the transcripts. And the attorneys are just as bad, you know, as the district attorney and the judges because all they're doing is taking people's money. And then when you you think they're doing a good job because you're ignorant to the law, but then once you go and start studying and fighting for yourself and looking into your case, you see that, hey, they ain't even read the transcripts, but yet they didn't charge me $15,000 here. $10,000
right.
You know, so in the spirit of humility, I'm asking you for your help. I've seen your work. I know what you do. I know what you're passionate about helping people. And my humble cry is for help.
Well, brother, let me tell you something. You're in the right spot. I keep trying to tell you, brother, man, I'm getting ready to try now to put a string of paralegals together, and we're going to go into those prison settings and try to release those of us who are wrongfully convicted, who are now, by the way, who don't have the money to get these kind of lawyers, because it's not necessarily the money with the lawyer, because you can have a public defender if he does his job, he can get you out of there. So you have to realize this is a money-making system that we're in. They care nothing about the MONEY, and if you don't have the money, you're going to sit in prison, you're going to stay in poverty, you're going to stay in broken-down homes and all that. So we know the system is geared and targeted toward keeping us down and impoverished. Now, you've been in 15 years. Sister Matt, you got some of your questions you want to ask, and then I'm going to say something else to him.
I would definitely like you to stay a little longer, or we can get your I'll get your contact information from
Yes. Okay. Well, brother, that's what I'm trying to say. Now, we're trying to work on this end as well, because when you have a voice like this here, there are attorneys and things in this world that will work for people, but you just got to find them, man. There's some revolutionaries like us out there. Not everyone is hard-nosed, but, again, just trying to find them. They're like a needle in the haystack, man. I mean, you have to keep digging, but eventually you're going to find it. You know what I mean? Ain't no questions about that. So everybody that's out there now has got something to say. We're going to give you about 10 minutes that everybody just come in and do what they need to say. Then again, I'll take the floor back because I want to get to the part about mass incarceration and why the CIA was responsible and part of the process. Now, Brother Beaumont, you said somebody was on the line wanted to speak or something like that, didn't you?
I want to introduce a few of my comrades, if I could.
Come on.
Will y'all sound off, please?
It's remaining.
Go ahead.
I'm still here. This brother Ken, I'm still here, bro. I'm still here. Come
okay,
around.
Brother, how you doing?
I don't know. I'm blessed, brother. I can't complain, man. I can't complain.
Hey, yes, sir, brother. All right. I will. We just want you to know, brother, on this show, this is your show. This is your. I'm just the host.
We were discussing remedies, actually, and, you know, there was a couple different ideas. One idea was the jurors. See, in Louisiana, they have what they call the 10 and 2. Now, the 10 and 2 was how they convicted people without a unanimous vote. So without a unanimous vote, that's not equality before the law. That's not equal before the law. That's a violation of the U.S. Constitution. That should have never happened. That should have been taken care of. It's just now going back since 2014, and, you know, they passed a bill now that they don't do that anymore. But they have it retroactive for all the 25 years before that of the people that got convicted under the 10 and 2 violation of the Constitution. So things of this nature need to be addressed. And we can do this on a local level with jurors. We need our people to go down to the courthouse and register to become jurors. But not just any jurors. You go down there and you go ahead and register. That makes you a juror. You can be a part-time juror or a full-time juror. But now that you're noted as a juror in the county, well, we can constitute a grand jury when you have 18 people. So 18 jurors constitute a grand jury. So now we can actually start doing some things about correcting the wrongs. Those who have violated people's human rights, those who are violating the law, can be held accountable. Now, we can issue warrants to this grand jury and have the sheriff start serving or be replaced. This is the law in America.
Hold on, just and don't leave that thought, but now that's ironic because Brother Omar in Denver is fighting that grand jury situation. Omar, talk a little bit about that. Man, that's ironic he brought that up. Come on with it.
Oh, my brother, man, it's basically
how they did
I'm pretty
too.
Sure everybody heard of the Elijah McCain situation out here when that poor Elijah McCain, a young brother, man, a gentle brother, was killed by our police department.
Yeah.
And it's a best example that I can tell you, man. Right now, they showed it recently on the local news and the world news.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a mugshot of three police officers, Caucasian police officers, and two EMTs that got indicted. You know, to the grand jury system, you know, and supposedly they go in there and, you know, make sure that they have probable cause. Now, everybody know that when it comes to our people, you know,
mm-hmm.
black people and brown people and poor people, even poor white people, you know, they don't need probable cause. But it's a pure example of what happened with Elijah McCain situation with the three white police officers and two EMTs, how they got indicted. somebody else, you know? So I'm in a situation where basically the state has no charges because they didn't indict me.
That's what we're talking about. Come on.
They have no lawful reason to hold me because they didn't indict me. They have violated me my due process rights, my human rights, you know, every right you can name, you know, just to get the conviction. And like the website, freeourbrothers.com, explains they're deliberately doing this because it saves time and money for them to go around the grand jury system. As you know, Mr. Michael Washington, the saying in law school is the prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, if you can indict a ham sandwich, why didn't you slow down and try to indict Omar Jeremy Jr.?
Come on.
You know, other poor people, because it saves you money.
Right,
you're talking
right.
About it costs them millions of dollars per quarter to slow down and use that process. So I'm not saying that the grand jury would have made sure that I had a due process or that I was being treated fairly because, you know, the grand jury doesn't have another name for a grand wizard, you know?
Okay, absolutely. And it's just a DA. That's all they are. You know, they're just DAs.
But because they didn't do it, you violated my due process rights. You have no reason to hold me. But see, the issue is, in this state, in closing, I would say, they only use the grand jury system in less than 1% of the felony cases. It's supposed to be 100% of felony cases.
Okay.
So you got people that's innocent, guilty, deserving a lesser punishment, you know, but you're railroading people to save time and money instead of changing the Constitution to say, we want to get rid of this grand jury system. But if they did it, they do it on the spot. You know, look at the individual that's coming to the door.
Uh-huh.
And that's all it is.
Okay, well, yeah, that's what I want you to show, just like what Bomani was just now saying about the grand jury and things of this nature and jury trials. Enough of people of color are not on these jury trials to make sure that fairness is there. Let me tell y'all a secret. In law, if there are 12 jurors, you only need one person to go against the verdict, and the case is over with. You see what I'm saying? We just need somebody to have that kind of muster in there, but they got it so stacked against us. Here's how they do it, y'all. They say jury appears. That means regardless of what county you live in, it's going to be predominantly Caucasians because, as you know, in every city, and they're going to go outside your city to get a jury of your peers if there are too many of you because they know 9 times out of 10 we are already upset, disgruntled about how we're being treated, being misled, being incarcerated, being targeted. So we're not going to get an opportunity to have fair play. Brother Bomani, now, brother, I think he wanted to say something a while ago over there. So talk to him. What, is he still there?
I believe that's the brother from Louisiana. Brother from Louisiana,
yeah.
You still there? Okay, he must have had to go.
Oh, you must have probably checked out. Okay, but anyway.
Queen
X, come on, Queen, come on. You know we got to let you say something. I ain't heard you in a minute. What's happening?
Peace and love, everybody. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Come on, man. I told you, I ain't scared of none of y'all out there. Y'all can't get to me. Y'all miles away from me. Yeah, okay. Let me be quiet. I didn't know about that short hop stuff. Go ahead, y'all. Just, we kicking it, man. We having fun tonight, y'all. All praise to the Most High. Talk to me. What's up on your mind now?
Okay, I was just wanted to say, you know, just make a comment. It's clear that, you know, we live in a system that meets violence with violence, okay? So it's life imprisonment, wrongful conviction, corporal punishment, and new stuff on crime laws they got out here. But, you know, they do this without addressing the root causes that allows the violence to flourish in the first place. Knowing that, you know, poverty is the most prevalent cause of the root cause of most of all the crime. You know, that people are locked up for. And instead of rehabilitation and any type of empathy from the criminal justice system, you know, it only inflicts more pain and suffering, you know, on the families and the loved ones and the ones that are incarcerated, you know. And I just wanted to quote something from Nelson Mandela. Makes a lot of sense. You know, he said, it is said that no one truly knows a nation until one has been inside its prison. And a nation cannot be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but how it treats its lowest ones. You know, the ones that are targeted the most, which is us, you know.
Yes, yes.
Wait a minute, I want to say this too, that it's the number stand that they play with us, you know. Everything about us is a number with them. I had to open my front door. It's a numbers game, you know. When you go to court, you get a case. know, when you get locked up, you get a prison number, you know what I'm saying? Then there's got to be some prison number.
Yes, of course.
Not the game, you know? And so I want to say this, too. The prison population has increased about 5% in the past 40 years, right? But crime rates have increased. So that lets us know that it's a corporation. It's a business in this
country. Oh, yes. Oh, come
and
on, sure.
Corporations are benefiting from our people's free labor. Free labor. You know, even the stores that we shop at today, you know, are we buying car insurance? All these people are benefiting off of this. That's not right. We have
absolutely right. Oh, man.
Right.
Hey,
we have a rapid increase in incarceration. You know, starting with these railroading errands. But Nixon with the tough on crime bill. Then Reagan came with the law and order. Which, by the way, Trump is trying to say too. Law and order, make America
oh.
again. That's another area. Okay.
On point.
Bush was
yeah. on
the
drugs. And
air policy. You know,
who's got that music going back? I can't hardly hear it. Somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, the music.
I see.
So they're playing the yeah. same game today with these policies.
Not me.
You know, creating a railroading era on our people.
That
it has to stop. And we have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all right. Well, let me say this right quick here, y'all. I see Jody from up here in Oklahoma. She's in Oklahoma City. I've been working with her. And Jody, you want to say a few words there before we move on here? I mean, I know you usually don't chime in, but, you know, talk to me if you got something to say. I think she's still on. I think she just popped off.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Joyce Williams.
All right, Sister
Oklahoma.
Joyce, how you doing? Come on, talk. What's going on?
Well, you know, we have to also think about the fact that we live in the land of greed. And many of these politicians have invested in these prisons, especially the private ones.
Oh,
and
come
people,
on. Whoa.
People don't necessarily in it. People don't invest in things to watch their investments go down. They want their investments to what?
Wow.
So therefore, you know, when you living in the land of greed, you have to also consider the fact that however they can get a dollar, they're down for it, whether it's overtly or covertly. They're down. Oh, and another one of the things that, you know, I had noticed because I have, you know, accepted plenty
yeah.
correct calls from the correctional institutions. Had they found another way that families can communicate with their loved ones without paying those horrible, horrible telephone bills? I remember them so well. That's something that I would like to consider. Also, there used to be a thing about conjugal visits. Do they still have those, Michael?
Well, no, they was over by 1989. They stopped
actually,
all that.
Actually, five states.
And that should be brought back because man must have woman at some point or something different.
Oh,
you
know that.
You know,
another
bullet. I'm just gonna hit these, highlight these things right quick. Then we can discuss
them. Come on, you got to take time. Come on, what you got?
Voter. Sisters and brothers, I know that they're doing all they can to suppress our votes. So I know
sure.
what they're. I don't necessarily know, but I can imagine what they're doing to keep you guys from voting. It was a sister I heard just recently. Got 6 years because she didn't know whether or not she could vote. So when they told, and she went to the proper channels, the county and different places, to find out if she could vote, and they told her she could vote, that she could register and vote. When she went to register, she was locked up. She was arrested. So, I mean, it's plenty work for us to do here. But those are just some of the things. And also, you know, this may not have anything to do with anything. Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Go
okay.
ahead.
Awesome. What was that choice if we had?
But now, do we have to work if we're incarcerated?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Do
when you get locked, you get a misconduct report if you don't. You better have a mental or physical dysfunction in part
no,
or something.
Sir. Of course you're going to
No, sir.
You got to be medically unfined.
But that's probably where you are, sir. Please don't argue with me about that. We do it in Oklahoma after work, or you get a misconduct report, okay?
If
you're sick, mentally ill, you will work or go to lockup, okay? Yeah, in Oklahoma.
Yes,
I don't know about what they do, what you do. In Oklahoma, we do. Go ahead now.
That's the choice. You don't have to work. You can go to lockup. I would shut the system down if everybody chose to go to lockup to work.
Oh, now that would be great. You know, but they're not going to do it.
I mean, that's just they're not getting credit.
They ain't going to do that, man. I mean, we're talking loud here, but go ahead.
If we encourage our people to do it, that would shut the system down. I'm telling you, that's what needs to happen. We need to stop working. That would be the quickest
way. Well, I agree with you.
We need to go on strike because you're not in
shut
that
it
work.
Down.
Can I say something? Then when you come out, those same jobs that you've been working on for the past 8, 9, 4 years, however long, they wouldn't hire you.
Hold on. All right, wait a minute, brother. Hold on just a second there, Sister Joy. What, brother, come on. What, somebody was saying something just now.
Yeah, that was Brother Kent. This man did me here in Mississippi. I'm going to say that down in Mississippi, we have what we call MPIC. MPIC is basically the only way that you're going to get paid for your work in the state of Mississippi. And it's only like one, two, three, I think it's three prisons that does MPIC. Alright, but see, here's the thing about that. A lot of people don't know. I don't know if any of y'all ever seen the documentary called The 13th. In the documentary, 13th, it spoke about an organization called ALEC. And ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. And I'm going to explain to y'all who and what these people are. These people are, it's an organization composed of politicians and CEOs, corporations,
okay,
things of that nature. This organization itself is what I call, and I teach my organization, these are the ops. And the reason why I teach that these people are the ops is because they sit and compose legislation that basically makes a dollar for them. Or let me give you an example. Okay, let's just say
Walmart.
Mississippi, Walmart. Let's just say that, like down here in Mississippi, one of the MPIC places at one of the prisons in Mississippi, in Jefferson County, Mississippi, they allow what they do is recycling. So they get old DVDs and stuff like this here. So they'll ALEC, what they'll do is any place that they're going to, any business that's going to benefit off of the incarcerated, they probably done already made a bill, they done probably already voted on the bill, or whatever the case may be that's going to help their particular business. And this shit is legal. You know what I'm saying? It's illegal for corporations and politicians to be in the same room. You all got to go check that out. ALEC. Man, it's illegal for these people to compose legislation without the people knowing. You see what I'm saying? But they
agree with y'all. Like,
you know
okay
what I'm saying?
And, that sounds like one of them.
And I'm gonna tell you something.
All right,
else,
y'all. Let me say here because we got about 20 minutes, because I like to go do the roundtable. I want everybody else to at least a minute and a half or something to do. So if y'all would indulge me and let me say a little bit about it as I held back. I told you I'd like to talk about a little bit about mass incarceration. And then, but Sister May, you've been pretty tough there. I mean, you got a comment or something you want to ask on it? Anybody? I'll say something right quick.
I'll say, I did want to say, you know, this country is pretty much geared for the wealthy to stay wealthy and the poor to stay poor.
Oh, man, yeah.
And And too many of our brothers and our sisters are incarcerated and are wrongfully convicted, excessively sentenced. A lot of things are happening. And our power, you know, our power in our words and our, you know, getting these cases out here to people that they try to shut that out, you know, as far as the media and the news, is going to bring national attention if we start, you know, putting out these cases. I don't care where you're from.
Damn.
You know,
damn.
If we start putting this on the map and keep pushing it out there, we can push the narrative to, you know, what's going on. We can shift all this stuff that's going on out here if we would share this information more often, put it out there.
Amen.
Yes,
I
say. Call and protest. A lot of different things we can do to keep this on the forefront so that they don't ignore our men and our women that are wrongfully accused, that are locked up, that are being, you know, their human rights are being violated. If we keep our mouths closed about stuff like this, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to keep operating.
Yeah, oh, man. You know, you're absolutely on point on that. It's time for us now to reach out on every part of the continent to make a difference where differences can be made. And the only way the differences are going to be made is that our voices are louder than the roaring lion of the jungle. Let me say this right quick, y'all, then I'm going to give each one of you a minute or two before we go out. Now,
okay.
Mass incarceration, its beginning, its end, and what we have to do to basically disrupt its flow. I want all y'all to know that I am a book writer. I have not been published just yet, but this very topic is a friend of mine. When I say a friend of mine, that means it's something that is dear to my heart, and I don't like the way our families are being treated, being misled, being incarcerated, being denied economic development, so forth and so on. So having said that, we're looking at the age of what we call the private prison system. We're looking at the age of the private prison system, right? Now, the private prison system would have been no good had not, listen carefully, had not the streets of California been flooded in 1980s by the CIA with a guy named Freeway Rick. Okay? Now then, there was no question that there was a plot, plan, and scheme instigated, instituted, and perpetrated by the United Snakes of America through their government agency, CIA. All right? Watch out now. At the same time when the flooded streets hit the streets of crack cocaine in Los Angeles, mind you, you had what you call several private prison operators that came to the forefront. One is CoreCivic, which used to be Corrections Corporation of America. Now you have CEO Group. And these are the first two private prison, excuse me, sir, if you would. These are the first two private prison operators in the United States per se with the recognition. And they were not the only ones in the first time in building their private prisons, because the private prison industry actually occurred in 1852, 23 years after the first prison was built in Philadelphia Prison. And it was a prison warship called War Bank built by the convicts themselves. Okay, it was in San Quentin, Oklahoma, now recognized. All right, y'all. Now, according to the Simpson Project here, 1.5 million people in the United States in federal state and federal prison in 2016, 85% of those were locked up in private prisons, y'all. Y'all didn't hear me. Out of 1.5 million people in the United States federal and state prisons throughout, they were locked up in the United States prison, 85%. And to add fuel to the fire, 76,249, 73% of all those people were immigrants from other countries in detained facilities in federal government in private prisons. All right. Now, you can't make this stuff up, y'all. Watch it. Here's the big clincher. Ronald Wilson Reagan, so-called war on drugs, that was a joke. Matter of fact, in his 1970 State of the Union address, he stated as this. This was what President Nixon said about getting tough on crime. We must declare and win the war against the criminal elements, which increasingly threaten our cities, our homes, and our lives. Well, he forgot to tell everybody that he had been talking about his major CIA, who was one of actually the criminals that basically created mass incarceration through this drug flow, crack cocaine, in Los Angeles, California, in the 1980s. Listen carefully, y'all, before you get your floor. It was during President Reagan's presidency that incarceration for drug crimes increased. The number of people sent to prison for nonviolent drug-related offenses increased from, listen carefully, y'all, from 50,000 to 400,000 by 1997. 1 year before President Reagan's inauguration in 1980, listen carefully, crack cocaine hit the streets of Los Angeles, California, thanks to the CIA and the Contras of El Salvador and convicted felon Ricky Donnell Freeway Ross Rick. Okay? He became known as the first black drug dealer in the United States. Let me quote this, and then I'll give y'all the floor back. I want you family members to know this, and I'm going to give you some information for some books that can further advance your knowledge overstanding in this area as well. A new article written in the San Jose Miraculous Times, August 18, 1996, issued a scathing accusation against the CIA, and the article reads, very briefly, for the better part of a decade, San Francisco Bay Area drug kingpin sold tons of crack cocaine to Crips and Bloods, street gangs of Los Angeles, and funneled millions in drug profits to a Latin American guerrilla army run by the United States Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, a Mercury News investigation has found. Listen carefully, y'all. The drug network opened the first pipeline between Colombia's cocaine cartels and the black neighborhoods of Los Angeles, a city now known as the crack capital of the world. The crack cocaine that flooded helps to spark the explosions in our urban communities as we see them today. It flooded the floodgates for prisons and caused the mass incarceration of black folks who were targeted in the African-American community. Yes, it funneled, provided cash and connections that were needed for L.A. gangs to buy automatic weapons, which they used to kill one another. All right, last word. The article is one of the series that were written in a three-day span entitled Dark Allegiance, a book written by a gentleman, I don't see his name here. It told the story of Los Angeles drug operation ran by Freeway Wick. The book details how Ross was supplied crack cocaine by two drug lords with ties to the Fenestra Democracia Nacionalista, FDN, a militant group in El Salvador. The book reveals how Donald Bland and Norman Menendez supplied tons of powder cocaine to Rick Ross, who then converted the powder crack cocaine, or the powder cocaine, into crack for the black community. All right, anybody out there can take over from that point. You just heard what I said. What are your thoughts on that? You got about 2 minutes apiece. Where do you want to start off?
Okay, I want to say something before next. I just want to make mention about the 13th. You guys can find out on YouTube that the Warren Brothers was talking about these making legislation. Alex making legislation with politics. This is a nonprofit group that's doing this. Alex is a nonprofit group. This story, it'll tell stories like Walmart, State Farm Insurance, you know, insurance companies. That's what I was speaking about earlier. And so then into the private prisons, you know, they're all in the conflict with the state court system, you know. They have these town hall meetings in these rural areas, and these people agree that to build these private prisons there, and they're given incentives, you know, from the federal government in rural areas. They get money. They get medical, they get access to food subsidies and such, you know, things like that. So one thing I learned when I was going to school was that, you know, if they have, if the Fed is under contract with a prison, and they have 100 beds to fill, right? If they haven't met their contract. Who's ever going to the court system at this particular time, and they have to meet their contract, whether that person is innocent or guilty, they got to go, because they got to meet their part of that contract that fed you with that private prison. That's the 13.
Okay. All right. All right. Definitely. Yeah. So you said that's 13. It's on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. It's called 13.
That's what I said. Okay. I'm writing it down. That's what I want to know.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I yield.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, sister. We next. All right. Come on, somebody. Y'all got it. I'll tell you, it's y'all's time. Y'all say what you want. Talk about what you want.
Yeah, I wanted to take a moment for the Rick Ross part. I'm in touch with a brother who was actually one of his tenants back in the day, and he did like 25 years over in California. His name is Lorenzo, and he's now an actor. He's striving to some of the wounds that he helped create. We need the brothers who were part of tearing down of our community to be a part of our building up community.
Hey, come on.
I have a website, www.fnfrank.us. That's www.f, as in Frank, n, as in Nancy, n, as in James, and n, as in Nancy, .us. That's Freedom and Justice Now. What we're doing is we're organizing different areas, activists that are willing, able, and ready to get involved in this massive undertaking. So let me reach out. We are coast to coast, and I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at. As long as you got a place of confinement near you, we definitely need your energy. So I wanted to pass the mic to my comrades if they have anything.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, just please hook me up. I'm ready. I'm ready to get the ball rolling and in motion. Well, go ahead on. Who's that? You said somebody you're going to pass it on. Who is it? Come on.
Tariko.
Brother Michael. I would like to find out how a lot of these prisons, especially the privatized ones, they had built prisons in a lot of these little no-name towns, I put it like that.
Rural areas,
Now, a lot of these communities have never seen a person of color in terms of African-Americans and things.
That's
but now their communities have come up as a result of being able to count their incarcerated with their census and other programs and things.
You're talking to me. That's the first part of being in a community. Yes.
I see. Yes, sir. But now tell me, since we have two facilities in the little town of Taft, which is an all-black town, here, and you know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Taft not coming up? Did they have a male facility as well
as
a female facility there in that small community? Yet Taft hasn't made any. It doesn't look like Guymon. I'll put it like that.
No. I know it doesn't.
What can we do to start some of that revenue that TAF receives from both of those populations? How can we get more money to stay in that TAF community to help the people in TAF?
Well, thank you for asking that question. That's very easy. What we have to do is amass a group of individuals with that same frame of mind that you have today. Listen to everyone. Listen carefully. You have what you call a tax increment finance group in every city. Okay, so what that tax increment finance is, this will be working to improve blighted communities. Like you just, watch out now, like you just said, though, the money that's coming in that's being generated from those two correctional facilities in that state are not being targeted in the areas to improve quality of school, education, food, stores, and restaurants and different things of that nature. Okay, so what they're doing is that they're actually funneling monies, taking it out, and then you have people in power and authority with black faces afraid to challenge those folks because they feel that they would run out of favor with the powers that be. So until you get those people to tap into the resources of the economic, finance, community program projects that they have, the monies are going nowhere fast because what they're doing is they're going to divert funds that's for education, that's for jobs, that's for medical procedures and all. This is why they're not coming up, so they're just giving them enough to stay as they are because they don't want that city with those correctional facilities to become independent. And until you get the black leadership down there, get people to start rallying up and questioning about where the money is going, because you have a right to what you call an audit. But again, if you're afraid to ask for it, I can send the money where I want to. You see? So until we have people with the heart enough to challenge where that money is going, then they're not going to get anything.
I hear you. Thank you.
I'll say to that.
But see, the people have to know, y'all. Let me tell you this here. People have to know that they have. Come on. Who's that? Come on. Somebody got something. Come on. It's y'all time. Come on. Somebody got something to say?
Yeah. Brother,
yes. Hey, Mike.
The brother
go ahead, bro.
Go ahead.
Brother Kennedy in Mississippi. What happened? I'm gonna tell you something that happened in the state of Mississippi. The commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Corrections, he had got brought up on a lot of embezzlement charges and things of that nature. There,
see that?
And it all revolved around one particular prison called Walnut Grove, and it was a lot of different stuff that was going on. It wasn't the actual prison itself, it was the politicians that were some kind of way closely tied into that particular prison. So it's like the actual town itself, Walnut Grove, really didn't want the prison there because the prison alone boosted the crime rate. Just the prison alone, the stuff that was going on inside the prison made the crime rate go abnormal to what the population actually was used to seeing, but the population couldn't control what was actually going on because it was the politicians that had control over the actual prison itself. So once an investigation got brought up on the commissioner himself, what he started doing was he started basically whenever his trial came up, he'll just drop the dime on a different politician that was helping him do whatever the hell he was doing. So in the end, he ended up going to the Fed, and about two different politicians end up killing themselves, end up committing suicide because he was
just
on everybody. You know
what
I'm saying? So my point is, a lot of times the politicians beat them. Every time the politician is involved in the prison, and they really dictate a lot of different things that a lot of people don't even know nothing about. You see what I'm saying? So if people don't get involved to understand the politics of their particular state, you feel what I'm saying? Anything can go on, and you won't even, and the people itself won't even have control, because if the people got to learn what is called the initiative process. If the people don't understand the initiative process, then your state, the people have no say-so whatsoever. You don't know what the initiative process is. You see what I'm saying? And the initiative process is based off of the population. So if at any time the population skyrocket or falls low, then you know, people, we have congressional districts. If the congressional district grow too much, or if the population decrease too much, then
we just
have the authority to basically pause everything, which means that the people really ain't got no say-so no more until the actual state itself can gain control over what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. The kind of commissions, that's called redistricting. You know, how if you increase or decrease, then that means they go overpopulated with Caucasian communities or whatever, and then they can justify it. Hey, y'all, we got these amount of people, now we're going to extend the territorial lands. You see, so I'm with you, brother, but like I said, we have to start teaching. As a matter of fact, while we're talking, Brother Leonardo, don't leave now because you got some few more words to say. Let me say this, y'all. So next week, we want to continue and follow up. We're going to follow up with the politics of the individual states. Like this brother's talking about, we're going to talk about the tax income. Listen carefully, y'all. We're going to talk about the tax income and finance, and also opportunity zones. Millions of dollars are out there waiting for you and your people, but you just have to know where they are. Miss Joyce, I know you a witness here. I've already got from that opportunity zone, $25 million for the Freedom Center. It's out there, y'all, but it has to be a viable, workable project that's designed to not just represent two or three people. It has to be a mass number of people that it's going to affect, and they can't tell you no. That's called opportunity zone, and it's called tax increment finance. Tax, they use your taxes, they overlay it, to use taxes diverted from other government interests to go to the interests of those who are applying for it. Okay, so y'all want to do that next? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, dear. And again, y'all, this is a great work we're doing. So we're going to next week. I want everybody to be back and bring your ideas because this is your time. And brother from Mississippi, we definitely want you to come back because you also sparked my thought in putting this program on like this. We're still going to talk to you about an incarceration and how they're making money off of our people because they get, in Oklahoma, I don't know about anywhere else, they get $26,400 a year per incarcerated man and woman in the State Department of Corrections. Think about that, y'all. More than $600 million going to keep people locked up. Come on. Who was that? Come on. Come on, y'all.
Just quick. Just quick, again, I just want to say something real quick about the redistricting. It's going on here in Ohio right now. And it's all the way up to our governor. You know, they're being charged with redistricting in an improper way, you know, so people can't vote in certain areas.
Yes, doggone it, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's going on here, and a lot of people are taking the call. A lot of politicians are going to jail.
Yes.
Right
yes.
Now.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why we're going to talk about this. Listen, y'all, these are the germane things that we're talking about. We're giving us an opportunity, a platform, y'all, to come back. I love the conversations that we be in, y'all. We are talking about
the only
Bible.
Thing that's missing, the only thing missing from this conversation, solution.
Mm-hmm.
The solution for all of this is independence of our community. As a people,
okay.
We have been dependent on other people to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves for over 150 years now. There's no
right.
way we should be talking about other people governing us. That's the problem. Without the will to be self-determined, we're going to continue to be slaves to other people's will.
Amen. Amen. I say, but you're right, brother, but let me go a little deeper for you here. You have to realize, too, the money that I'm demanding from the government is mine anyway, sir. It's been held back from me. You ever heard of reparations? I demand mine. Let's understand that. I demand mine. You're not giving me anything. It'd be different if I'm asking you for something that I don't have an entitlement to. Listen, that's a different brother. You know, you talk to a giant here. If you owe me, I want mine. I'm not going to say, yes, all right, then you can continue to do that to me. I'm not asking for your help. Your tax income and finance, your opportunity zones, or money set aside for people who have an entitlement. We want ours, and we demand it. Yeah, like I said, now, they're not giving me anything. Look at all the years we've been back without being paid.
Sure,
I'm sure we haven't forgot about that.
Come on. The one thing that we need more than money.
Go ahead. Bomandinho, whoever. Go ahead, Bomandinho, whoever was talking. Go ahead.
Freedom's worth more than $80. That's the problem. We don't have the freedom to make our own way. With freedom, we don't need
our
own. We can make our own.
Okay.
That's what the problem is. We're not thinking big enough. We're thinking like slaves. We got free men.
We could go out here and we can get our own, but we know how to do that. And I'm proud of us for doing that. But that doesn't mean we're not owed. We are owed. We're not by this society. We're owed by the world. Whoever benefited from the sale of a slave who left Africa and was dropped off between the Caribbean and the USA.
Haiti, Jamaica, Cuba.
They owe us out of Spain, Portugal, France, United Kingdom, USA, baby. They owe us.
They've been
if we come from a position of power and independence, without that, they're not going to be able to pay us.
That's the self-determination when governing ourselves.
Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead, Matt. Your time to shine. You haven't got your
I say,
you have to look at it
also, you know, that's why I say when I say the black nation, I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about globally because, you know, it's not just something that's happening here. Everything that we're experiencing here is happening everywhere else. And trust me, it's probably way worse in some parts that there is no sure. people that are willing to stand up for them, and everybody is scared for their entire life. I don't know how many documentaries or things that I have watched where I've seen it be extremely worse over there, you know what I mean, versus over here. But I'm not going to highlight which side is worse, but just always understand that it's happening everywhere. So if we, you know, if we keep pushing the narrative and we keep, you know, demanding our reparations and we keep demanding that you give us exactly what you said you was going to give us,
you're going to give it.
Take whatever we need to take.
You're going to
give that one up too, and all of that.
You're going to give it up.
You know, because we've made everything, in my opinion, we've made everything in this world, because in every country.
Oh, come on. How else can you not be?
We have marked it, you know what I mean? And in every country, we're discriminated against.
Oh,
so it's
come
not just the white race, but it's other races that join in with them to continue to oppress us, because the fact that they know what we've done and who we are and what we're capable of,
yes.
So they try to lower us and and lock us up, kill us, rape us, do all these horrible things to us, and to separate our families.
Yes.
And to separate the black man and the black woman from there's no way that, you know, we should feel like we are less than at any moment. So,
amen.
You know, whatever you can to keep pushing this narrative, pushing the fact that we need our people to be released. You know, we don't need them locked up for small things that the little white boy around the corner with the daddy and all the money can get him out in 24 hours. Or
that's
and he's out of, you know, and he's out of jail over
some
small
charges.
Oh, man.
You said that right. Good.
You know what I mean? It's so many scenarios. Because I said in
I'm
going
to have to object to
that.
Okay,
no,
come on.
We
say
that then.
Listen.
Give us some money, then you go out there. Go ahead.
I sat in the middle of a protest listening to a white politician say that, yeah, I know that black people are struggling. I know that this is going on. My wife just released my son off of this charge. Well, but are you doing anything for the black community while you're highlighting your white privilege? That's the compliment I have an issue with. You know, they're not wanting to do anything about it. They want to benefit off of the prison system in any way possible, whether it's coming to our protest, with ill intentions. You know, and there is some of the other race that will come and actually support. And, you know, I don't want that to be unseen either. But at the same time, there is ones that come to benefit off of us to continue to make money off of us trying to stop what's going on to our people, too, also. So I just.
All right. Ooh, on point.
Since
you were on point, man, y'all keep fired up like this. We're going to be y'all off the air here in a minute. We're going to go. Go ahead, Bo Minor. That's great, sister. Thank you, man. Come on. Bo Minor, you said you had an issue with something.
Aren't willing to do what other people have done to get the respect makes us less than. They give us liberty.
You say what now?
That makes us less than. And we are not willing to stand and fight to death. Like other men have, that makes us less than. That's why we don't have the respect. They call us cowards.
With good reason. So we better have been standing up.
Liberty and give us death. That's what they did. That makes us less than. If we do that, we will continue to be less than. That's the only solution. Men can govern ourselves and protect each other. But without that, we have no choice. We don't even belong to at a table of men when we do that.
There's always only two choices. You do or you don't.
You do or you die. Boy, what you say, sister? You do or you don't.
I said, you're only going to get two choices. You're either going to do it or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And I'm the one that's going to make it happen. I'm a true sister warrior. You know,
I believe in you.
And killing these, you know, black men out here, and, you know, there's no repercussions for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go back to that casualty in 1669.
Look here, you've done nothing. You said nothing wrong. I love it. Trust me.
Yeah. You know, I love the police. corruption, and I'm still fighting that battle. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to step off of them. You know what I'm saying?
No, you can't. You can't. The moment you ease up, it gives them the incentive to believe they can get further into the trenches of coming into your house, taking your food, telling you to sit in a corner while you watch TV or whatever. I mean, it's equivalent to, as far as I'm concerned. So, in other words, we have to keep them people on the perimeter of outside. Go ahead. What's up now?
Yeah, they're used to having their way with our women. So we don't say
that's happened, man.
They come and take our children.
That's got to end.
No, we can.
They're doing it through the Department of Human Services,
because we
CPS.
Upon that we can. We're not doing what we have available in the law. We're not taking the steps that are available right now in the law. So they know that we're not being threatened. They can see what they do to us. We grow the balls. Are we standing to have the chance to do it on a collective level? It won't get what we did get. It's going to have to start somewhere. Some of us want to stand up for us. And until that happens, we're all going to be held by other people.
We got to stand up, bro.
Tomorrow's is dictating to us.
Go ahead. Come on.
The solution.
We have to take control of the narrative of our own lives.
Okay. Come on. One of y'all. Somebody. Come on.
The solution to mass incarceration will have to start with us, that we can do right now at this time. And this time is to get our family members, our loved ones, and our people to go to jury duty. Now, if you start going to jury duty, like you said, it'll just take just one individual to go. Some states, they have
that's
two
all.
Now.
That's all.
Know,
that's over with.
You know, but here in California, it's just one. And if you do that, if you just do that, you know, we have our people. We're scared to go to jury. We don't even want to go to jury duty. But if we find out that our people go, you're going to be one of the first ones kicked off the jury. You ain't even got to. That's why, like I said, if someone you could register, if you could register to become a jury, do that. If it takes you to register to vote, just to register to get that jury notice to come into your home, send them family members to that jury.
Yeah, Bomani was right about that. Bomani was right. At that point, we need it, man. We need to get on there, y'all. Because, like I said, we can't strike a force or make an argument if we're not right in the thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to say it. Go ahead.
One thing I want to say.
Yeah, that would stop your mass incarceration.
I'm not sure that's going to stop mass incarceration. Most of the people don't go to trial. Most of them take pleas. It's not going to stop mass incarceration.
That's what I want to say.
That's not going to stop mass incarceration.
Okay.
Okay. That's what's going to do. That's what happened to jury.
If you're
judged
by your peers, you're going to take it to trial. If you're not getting judged, you're getting judged by all white people. You're not taking it to trial. You know,
I wouldn't trial. I did.
Okay, y'all. Hold on now. Hold it, y'all. Now, let's lift this up and then we give it back to you. Come on. Talk to me.
I experienced something, you know, with that in court with one of my sons. And the attorney that I hired wanted him to take a plea bargain for 15 years. And I said,
Okay,
I said, we're going to go to trial. I said, well, I'm not going to be that 1%. That's what I'm going to be. So we went to trial, right? And we were victorious, okay? He was 15 years. But he didn't get the 15 years. I asked the lawyer, I said, well, don't they want to know the truth? He said, the court don't care nothing about the truth.
Are you right?
And I was so mad at that. Yeah, but it was real.
It's what you can prove. It's what you can prove in court. Not they don't care about the facts. You can what you can prove in court.
Exactly.
You can't prove it, and
exactly.
It doesn't exist.
Exactly. And it was high profile. He was 16 at the time. And one guy had got shot during this robbery, and they said if he died, then they was going to charge my son with murder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, And then he was offering 15, and he didn't have nothing to do with it. He just helped one of his friends that got shot and put him in the car. He walked up on the scene, and the one a friend had told him, you know, the friend had been shot, and he couldn't drive. So he asked my son, could he drive? And he said, yeah, where's he at? He said, down the alley somewhere. He ran that way. He'd been shot 5 times that he got had. And my son went and picked him, found him through the alley and picked him up and take him to the hospital. The police got behind my son. My son waved him on like, come on, you know, because he's trying to get his school friend to the hospital.
Right.
Everybody else on their face when they got to the hospital and locked him up.
I had to fight.
You know what? I'm not surprised. I keep trying to tell you. I know what these fools, idiots, would do because the law enforcement agencies have a gung-ho, no holds barred policy. Means whatever to their discretion. If they feel they can use violence, shooting you, kicking you in the face, it's all at their discretion, y'all. Because it's written up like that. Until we could, again, like you said, get enough police officers, just like on the jury trials, y'all, who are going to say, hold up, Mr. Caucasian partner, you know, I'm riding with you, you're not going to do this to this person, no matter what color they are. Until we have some gung-ho people ready to stand up like that, we're going to continue to suffer. All this killing going on, look, it ain't changed nothing, y'all. Since George Floyd killing, they've been coming worse now. Come on now, ain't that telling y'all something?
I'm worse than the numbers are.
When the Panthers were sitting there policing the neighborhoods and all stuff, our people got to go back to them days doing the same thing. We can't be
man,
stuff
I'm trying to tell you. Who you talking about? I'm telling you.
I want to know if it's Tamika got that on the line because
all they're doing is bringing up their phones and filming it.
What are you saying, Flip, now?
I was saying, me and Sister Tamiko, you know, we were here, New Black Panther Party Day in Ohio, right? And there was a situation this past year where this guy, it was an undercover police officer, he was riding by in his car. And they were saying this guy had a ghost warrant, okay, from another state, all right? So the guy was watering his lawn. He had his two dogs outside, you know, two kids outside in front. This officer hops out his truck, an undercover car, hops out the truck and shoots the guy's dogs, right? To the house. When he ran into the house, I mean, the police car flocking from everywhere. So he gets butt naked and gets up on his house to show everybody, you know, show the police he ain't got no weapon. You know what I'm saying? So we had to go out there and tell them, y'all not going to kill this man in front of us. Y'all going to have to kill all of us. Y'all not going to kill him, not in front of us today.
Man,
it's not happening. So we stopped that. That day. All right, with that, I yield. Go ahead.
Oh, very beautiful. So, but let me say something. You did it absolutely right. Look here, we have to have more of us with that same fighting spirit and letting them know, man, this is our community. You're not just going to kick us in our face and just throw us down and take our candy balls because you think that you got a suit on and we're not sticking together. I'm trying to tell y'all, man, we have to mend our ways now. We have to go through the trenches. As long as we're legal, legal will fight, justice will stand on our side, y'all. But we have to get out of that mindset that it didn't happen to me. I don't care. You're not my brother. You're not my sister. That mindset is what our hold up in our problem is today. Bottom line.
Yeah, they call that the
fear. Fear.
That's what they call it.
The community. Fear is the number one issue. Fear has been bred into us for generations.
Go ahead.
Into us. Killed our fathers.
Break
our mother.
Break that fear.
Actions break the fear.
Let me tell y'all something. Hey, you know y'all talking about that DNA? Let me tell you what they do with the DNA. Listen carefully. Listen, y'all. Ain't neither one of us today been born that didn't have our mouth swabbed out. They already got our DNA when you were born. Okay, everybody? So they know if yours matches Susie or Joe, then they know to put this kind of chemical, this, that, and other, because listen carefully. Even though it affects John and Susan Harry with type A blood, it don't necessarily affect you and I, okay, y'all? That's why some people die from virus, some people don't. Somebody gets sick for a minute and don't die. You understand what I'm getting at, y'all? It's an overflow of those biological chemical weapons. They already have your DNA. Your name, Mike Watson, oh, he was born in 1958. And what hospital? MF, blood pressure, whatever. Y'all follow what I'm saying, y'all? When you're born, you're saliva and all that. It's already there. You understand? So we have to be. Get out of your handprints and all. Who you talking to? Your hand, all of that. Really?
Viruses are made up of DNA. So y'all got to
come on. Hello, sister. What did you just say? I just said it may affect you.
look at the makeup of what's being weaponized out here. It's something that they can easily manipulate and change and make new variants of. Y'all gotta do y'all research on that.
Yes, yes, but like you said, sister, and listen, y'all, to Trill, give me back just a minute. Listen, y'all, that's why if you and I can eat the same hamburger, for example, and it may have the chemicals in it, I just told y'all, they incorporate whatever disease or chemicals they're going to put into to affect whatever. One of it might affect you, just give you a cold. But it might affect me to where I'm just damn near dying and ready to pass to the next
one. And y'all
don't
want
to
be a part of
the
nation that does that.
What you got, nine?
Y'all don't want to withdraw.
Yeah.
Are we crazy?
Yeah. That's what we're saying, y'all. Listen, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Listen, y'all. See, that's how they know with the chemicals that they're putting out here, and they know how many. Listen, y'all. They already know with the chemicals that's put out here, they can't afford to kill everybody off, y'all. It's the design to control the population rate on the earth because they figured that we are taking up too much of the food, water, and oil supplies and all, and farms and land, y'all. Okay, y'all? Listen carefully.
No,
yes,
they
I'll kill 50 million people.
Water
for
and land to grow enough food for everybody. They want to limit the number of people who can control them. They can't control the number of people. That's why they want to limit the number. They got nothing to do with the
resources.
And it's still going on.
There's more than enough food for everybody.
So
throw food away. Not about the food.
Yes, I know, brother, man.
Listen.
Right, brother. But listen, the food. Okay, the food corporation portions that you're talking about. Listen carefully. They're not throwing any food away, brother. Man, those foods are being siphoned up into those countries and things of this nature. They're not just throwing it. Listen, you don't hear me now. I have to get that food away so that I can starve
and
kill you.
Man,
listen carefully. They're giving that food and stuff. They're not just burning the job. No. They're making money, home. You, the people don't throw food away. Don't you know you're talking about corporate America, really? No.
They're
Lithuanian places like that, and then giving them, they're paying up to get the food. Yes, they're giving them
food. What are you talking about?
No. Brother, I'm just saying, Americans today, why do you think you still have hunger and starvation even in the United States? Because the food that they're giving away, not necessarily starving them out, they have other monies that's set aside for other countries that they're paying you to give the slops and leftover to those countries, brother. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They don't
here alone have been destroying slops. They're destroying food. I'm saying, you're making it sound like that's not happening. It's still reported on the news.
Look at the fruits and stuff you buy from the store. It don't have seeds in it no more. So you know it ain't real.
Hello.
That's the genetic modified
organic. Yeah, you got KFC. The KFC
hello, y'all.
Because they don't sell chicken.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You're not eating chicken no more. Tell them what you're eating now. Yes.
Exactly.
Don't you
get
that,
proper nutrition. We got proper nutrition
in
our community.
That you've been missing on the milk carton is on the even fast food hamburgers and sauces.
Come on, man.
They've been talking
get
about
it. You
sure
they right. I'm trying to tell y'all.
They wrote a book about this. And then they told about this.
I'm telling
y'all. And everybody's going there. They do the sacrifices. And then they dip their bread into the blood of their enemy, and they eat that shit, and then they grind that meat up and sell it to the milk cartons.
Get out of here,
the meat
man.
Grinders,
it's been
and
proven.
They sell it to the organizations that they own. They own Burger King,
get
McDonald's. They own all that
sure.
stuff. Carl's Jr.
Sure.
All you got to do is go research it. They've been talking about
I'm telling
everybody's
you, you're
scared.
On
they
man.
Don't want to talk
you're
about this.
Shit. You know, the people out there know what they're doing.
Stuff that we got to... We got
somebody reported
these problems. Education will wake our people up, but education with actions, I like that too, because without the action, you ain't going to be able to implement. This is going to be stuck in your mind. But we got to sit there. What we know, what we learn, we got to educate our people, each one teach some, and then waking the other ones up.
There you
and
go.
Keep on doing it. So we fight for the process.
You know,
action
is not
yay.
Action
is
not
necessary.
Corporation. We police our community. Police our own community. We sit there and get our own. We can't sit there and depend on the government that's sitting there and a vaccination that's killing people for kids.
No.
You know,
come
for
on, man.
Years, they were giving out the CD experiment. We ain't forgot about that for 4 years.
Come on, man. Get
out
of here. I'm
out.
Telling y'all.
You know, we're going to sit there and step the same organization. This was even 50 years ago. The 50-year anniversary is in June. You know, so they are sitting there and already recycling the same process over. And everybody that's sitting there walking around with a mask, those are people whose minds are occupied. No, because they don't know the truth. They don't know what's going on. They're stuck on mainstream media. Malcolm X used to tell us about that. Mainstream media, you got to be watching. You can't depend on it. Sit there, have your head.
Amen.
All of
truth
and love and alone.
Hey,
that's
why I said.
With that media, you know?
What'd you say, sister?
So
media, they locking us down.
Where's the contract at? We never signed no contract. What do you mean, government?
All of
we
that.
No contract, no consent. No consent, no
consent. Yeah, you can
sign the contract.
Absolutely.
Vote.
Y'all,
when
come on, y'all. Y'all lighting it up tonight.
You
what do you mean? Contract on what?
You would have registered for that loan. You signed a contract. You know it. Today, you accept a dollar contract. The loan is a contract.
Oh, man.
Now, one thing I did want to say was, you know, we have, of course, like the gentleman said earlier, we have to educate our people in, you know, everything about the revolution. You know, we have to be self-reliant.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to have to start growing our own foods. We're going to have to start doing and be proactive about it. You know, we can only say the truth so much until we have to live it. We have to be the example of it. I don't care what situation or state you're in. If you are an activist, revolutionary, a person that's pushing for the black community or pushing just you in general, you know, to, you know, excel in this life, you know what I mean, and you have a desire to want to help our people, you've got to get active. You've got to walk in your truth of this revolution, and that's my biggest thing. You know, we have to get active. We say everything that we need to do, we need to get out here, and we need to do it. Because, you know, if anybody's paying attention, we are at the brink of, we're at the brink of war in between Russia and Ukraine, in between Russia and us.
That's a distraction.
Listen. I'm going to say this because it affects here also. The fact that they're stopping food, they're stopping all of these things, that stuff directly affects us. So we have to be able to take care of our food.
That's not food that they're giving us.
I'm gonna finish explaining what I have to say.
Come on, let her go, y'all. Then we
can
come in. Go ahead. Well, come on.
So we have to be self-reliant. We have to push us, and even in the midst of things or distractions or things that are going on, we have to push that, and we have to get active about our community, because we're not, quote-unquote, wanting to be a part of them, so we have got to make moves in order to secure our nation, to secure our food, secure our health, secure, you know, our men and our women's safety and our children's safety. So we have to be proactive about these things, because things that are happening, you know, with this quote-unquote country that we're in, a nation within a nation, is going absolutely crazy, and it's sending, you know, is making things a lot difficult on top of their, you know, their oppression of us being black people. So I look at everything in a broad spectrum, because our people are overseas too. Don't forget that.
Oh man, everywhere we look around. I mean, it's blighted communities. Go ahead, everyone, y'all. We brought blighted communities. You're right. Every turn, every corner, you northeast, west, and south. News. No way we ain't been done wrong. Right.
Nothing but promise and an idea. It is time for something. If we don't have self-determination, got a shot. Got a snowball chance. We're in hell right now. I'm just against us. Being killed.
Oh, man, you said snowball chance. Hey, but let me say something, y'all, while we on the subject of food. Okay, I know all y'all understand what I'm talking about here. Okay, listen carefully, y'all. Let me have just a minute. Our problem today with this food processing mechanisms and machinery that these people use against us, y'all, is that genetically modified organisms, remember that GMO.
Yeah.
Now, we say, well, why is it disastrous and we shouldn't be eating it? Listen carefully, y'all. It's because it causes allergies, cancer, environmental issues, sneezing, sleepless nights. Listen, y'all. That's the very purpose of how these people keep – yes. This is the very purpose how they keep us in bondage, slavery, suffering, and death. Because the consumer, listen carefully, they're the one that own the grocery store where the stuff is sold at. They don't mind feeding it to their own people. Yes, they don't mind feeding it to their own people because it's all about modification. Y'all, I need so many people to die, even some of our own. But now watch this here. That's why a lot of them today, they don't eat that processed food like that. Because, listen carefully, the processed food, y'all, are having living, live organisms, and it creates the worms. Y'all ever heard your mother say, boy, you must have got worms, and you're skinny, or you whatever. Yes, that's a living organism, living, live worm. It's actually in the majority of us, and we don't even know it today. Y'all understand what I'm getting at? And they're evening up the fats and different things of this nature that's causing us cancer in our enzymes and things of this nature. Y'all, that's what we got to think about our own farming, so we know what's going into the food process.
They call it silent weapons, quiet force. That's the whole
thing. Yeah.
There you have it.
It's either chemicals.
That's why they're so bold right now with the COVID. That's why they're so bold. They've been doing this all these years with us.
Oh, man, come on.
They've been vaccinating our kids. They've been taking kids up out of homes and stuff and doing what they want to do with them. And now what they doing now? They sitting here killing everybody on the mass murder with everybody just sitting there accepting it. Like,
man,
it's okay. This is the time to withdraw your consent and take your power back. Because if not, they're letting the police officers have it. They're letting the fire department have it out here in California. Mm-hmm. They're doing it bad. And it's bad.
I know they are.
In L.A. County. It's so bad in L.A. County. You can't deny to go into offices. You can't deny to go into hotels. If you don't got no mask on, and you wouldn't, it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
You can't come up in here, you want to do business.
Yeah,
the segregation going back in the 40s and 50s and stuff. You know, we're going reversing it and leapfrogging over this stuff. We're not even taking baby steps. We're just taking big major leaps and hops into this. You know, how do we stop
now?
You know, because that's what we want to get to. We got to sit there and get back to the people. Let it be known that they put me vaccinations is killing me. He told me, he was like, let the youngsters know, do you want to be sterile? Do you want to have kids? You want to have grandbabies stuff? Well, you don't want to be able to do that. These drugs and these vaccinations that they're giving you. When we do these campaigns, we put that stuff out there to the youngsters like that. I think this will sit there and start making the change because right now everybody's just is sitting here trusting the enemy. They're trusting the ops, and they don't even know it. These are the ones who invested it and created this disease and gave it out here, and this is illegal. But they know it's a time of taking because they know their time is up, so they trying to take as many as they can at the same time.
We
can reverse this situation right now. You know, because the power of knowledge and truth and organization and the people will sit there and okay. Because right now, people are scared of the government when the government's supposed to be scared of the people.
Exactly.
The last time the government was scared of the people, when I seen that happen, when we had the L.A. riots out here, that was the first time I seen the government scared of the people and stuff. Everybody was locking down. That was part of the government system. Up in their buildings and not coming out. And then they had to bring out the National Guard and helicopters and tanks on us. You know, that was the one thing that I seen, and it was uniting from everybody, and the people come to unite.
That's what happened
everybody else jumped in the mix to go along with it. You know,
we've got no arms.
Yeah, but you know, we don't really need to get to that level of tearing stuff up, because see, we start tearing stuff up, they getting paid double whammy. They getting insurance money. They getting all that. We can sit there and find
it. Oh, back over, man. Y'all, ooh, you said that, man. They run an insurance company.
When they was doing, they ran down L.A., and then they going to sit there and see that Black Lives Movement march to sit down there, and they come in here and camouflage that button so they can go hit the Diamond District. They hit the Diamond District, they're building up in there, and then they got paid for all that.
So what's the name? They had they bragged about it. They still had the individuals who they paid to go sit up in there and go get it and go up in the ball. That's why they was using that. They was using that movement as a thing. Because remember, it's a gay movement. So it ain't none of us up in here. It ain't
well,
none of us
brother,
on it, so they can go
like
do what
you're
they
saying, I'm with you.
They gonna
I'm with you. Let me just say
that.
Let me put my take on it. I'm like you. I do not trust nor have faith in the Black Lives Matter movement because that was a movement created by the white man to give sisters an opportunity to disregard and disrespect their own men and on their own website saying, hey, to hell with men, we're going to do
the
listen, y'all, it's
exactly
about the, yes, this, I'm not anything dividing my black community. I'm not any within anybody. I keep trying to tell them.
They let it be known.
No, it's on this website. Go to the website. Tell you to hate your man and all. Get the heck out of here, man. I don't believe in nothing like that.
I'm already.
Wow.
I didn't even want to go over there. I just because I believe
go to your website.
When somebody read it, and I was like, that shit not on that website, and I went to go check it out, and it was
no,
on
it
website.
Is, brother. I know.
And
you know me. I'm a historian. Go look it.
I didn't go check it out myself. See, I didn't know because I wasn't with it. I wasn't jumping in it. So
dividing the black family home, white man, George Sorceress, the billionaires funding them. Don't it?
Exactly. And the questions that made more money when George Floyd got killed, too. They had three arrests per household. Three arrest warrants per household from that person.
Oh,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
What I want to say, too.
But something that's going against us. They promoting us as Laura Beans. We not Laura Beans. They saying they trying to promote us to show us as Laura vibing individuals like them.
Man.
Well, look at them. They seen their mental. They got a mental disorder and they thinking they doing something. When a man want to be with another man and he a woman, that's a mental disorder. When a female
man,
something
wrong. What you mean? It's crazy in hell, man. Adam and Steve can't make no damn babies. And what kind of shit is that?
It was some gay psychiatrists that all got together in order to got that stuff up out the mental health disorder because it was
come
a
on man
to them, you know, so when they picked that up out of there, they was able to contact the family members because remember that wasn't running rapid in our community and stuff. That's
no
that
was promoted by the presidents of the United States. All they have to do is listen. They have the commanding voice. The president has the commanding voice. If he say jump, everybody going to jump. If he say turn the car over, you're going to do it. Okay? That's why everybody's now, okay, I can be this. I can be a gay president. I can be a gay a politician. Oh, I can be a gay pastor now. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I
was going to
Kim trails. You know, they're chemical trails, and they're dropping them, you know, into the air.
Yeah. Oh, sure they are, the sky. Yes. Yes.
Yes. They put the chemicals on our food. They put the chemicals everywhere, and they put it in the air, and then nobody
says
nothing about it. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
Ain't nobody
sure, I
about
them all
the time. Chemtrails, yes.
Now, question. Knowing that the government does all this stuff that we just talked about, how can we trust them to give us do right by us?
Man, I'm not trusting
them
on
it.
Exactly.
They away from me.
Remember, the Asians went through a couple of months of some hatred, but they weren't even going through that. I think that was amplified. But they got reparations like that.
Yeah, let me say this, y'all. Hold on. Let me say, I hate to cut y'all. Listen, I'm getting ready. They're getting ready to cut me off, y'all. Listen, hold on. They're getting ready to cut me off. So, but next week we're going to talk about the politics of individual states. And this we're going to finish the topic that we're doing tonight, y'all. So it's going to be real live again, like last week. I had a few more people. I told them what it's going to be. They're going to be back as well. So I'm saying this. Y'all keep talking, but in 3 minutes it's going to cut us off. So if I don't say good night to all, y'all be blessed. So we'll keep talking, though. I'm saying it right now. I'm saying my goodbyes now. So go ahead on, though. Yeah, go ahead and talk. Just get ready to cut me off.
We definitely have a plan. We have a plan of action. We see what other people have done and got their freedom. Take care of themselves. They don't need reparations from nobody else. United States didn't seek reparations from Great Britain. No, separation. That's what repaired them. That's not repair us, but asking for money, mm-hmm. not what we need. What we need is our own volition.
We want our money being handcuffed and held and all in somebody else's custody. That's all I want from them. Then I want,
don't
then
need
my
their
own
money going to crap anyway. Their money worth nothing.
I don't need that. That's what I'm saying. I don't want that. I want mine. Mine that they got.
Yes.
You're
what produces their money. Your birth certificate is what produces their money.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is. This system is a system of credit.
Yep.
It's an old system of credit.
That's what you just told me, rocket science. You just told me, they owe me then, since you said they used my birth certificate, give me my money then. Hello, John. Next.
It's not your birth certificate.
Did you just say they used my birth certificate?
No,
give me my money.
Name. If it's your name.
Mm-hmm. Give me my money.
On their birth certificate. They own that. They created it. That was their bond paper.
No, they didn't give me my name, did they? My mother did. Give me my money. Hello, Michael. Careful now. One of us is high. One of us is down. Give me my money. Right? Give me my money. You said to use my name. Give me. I didn't give you permission. Give me my money. Hello.
That's right.
No, they pimping it. They pimping.
Damn the money.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Give me my liberty.
Don't give me mine.
Leave me alone.
Yeah,
I don't want your money. I want my freedom and time. Yeah, keep your money.
Well, that's nice.
I want my time.
Everybody
and
has a right to
land.
Have what they want, brother. I mean, we're not saying that they don't have a right to that. We want anybody to feel independent, however they feel to get it. But I need my money because they use me to in the cotton fields, the sugar canes, the tobacco fields, and all
that. So what
that
if they don't give
money,
you your money? Then what? Are you going
to
stop?
Because they don't have to give it to
them
because I'm getting
money?
Out on taking it and I'm creating it. I'm creating my own.
So,
in other words,
they're
going to be forced to give it to
money,
me. They're going to be forced to.
Progressive? We gotta figure out how we're going to process
it. Yeah, I got 30 seconds, y'all. I'm getting ready to close
it's
up.
It's been real. I appreciate
we'll
it.
Hey, man, it's been real. Y'all, we're going
to
talk
to
you.
And don't forget to go to DetroitGov.us.
I already befriended you. You sent that request. It's getting ready to cut off, y'all. I'll talk to y'all a little bit. Okay. I'll see y'all.
Okay.
Okay. Well,